ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। ओम सदाशिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः सांगपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः। ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। राजविद्या राजगुह्य योगो नाम नवमोऽध्यायः। So in this chapter, Raja Vidya Raja Guhya Yoga. As I said earlier, what has been already clearly understood in seventh chapter is in fact repeatedly made clearer in this chapter. Actually, Ishwara is nothing but para and apara prakritis. The two prakritis together form Ishwara. So how Bhagavan started here, the 12th verse we saw, let me read again. Moghasha mogha karmanah mogha jnana vichetasah rakshasi masurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shritah. This is a verse we should understand in the context of what has been said before. How people who do not understand Ishwara Bhagavan and they mistake him to be the one with the form. Not understanding Bhagavan's Swarupam, not understanding the Bhagavan being the whole, not understanding Bhagavan being essentially formless. They mistake And that mistaking Bhagavan, which means mistaking Bhagavan to be in a form or not knowing Bhagavan's nature, means actually they do not know their own truth also. And without this discriminative understanding, naturally they live confused. So it is said in 12th verse, which we saw last class, Mogha Ashaha, Mogha Karmanaha, Mogha Jnanaha, Vichetasaha. See, the word Vichetas, Vichetas, the Chetas means mind. Vichetasaha, here actually, people who lack discriminative understanding, avivekinaha. Vichetasaha means avivekinaha. The indiscriminate people who do not have the understanding, and they do not appreciate the fact, naturally being ignorant. So all their efforts, all their understanding, all their desires, they're all vain. So whatever desires they have, they are of people of vain desires, vain hopes, and vain efforts, vain understanding, vain knowledge. And such people, naturally, they become predominantly rajasic and tamasic nature. And those natures naturally are, they're delusive. They're given to, they take to tamasic, rajasic, delusive nature. This is what we saw in the previous verse. Which means everywhere the emphasis is one has to understand Bhagavan. One has to Bhagavan has to be understood. Even the God whom we worship, whom we pray to, and whom we understand as the very order, whom we look at as the creator of the universe, and whom we say, oh, everything, to whom we say all pervasive, and that Lord needs to be understood. Bhagavan is not a matter for belief. Bhagavan is not something to be believed, and Bhagavan is a fact to be understood. Because understanding Bhagavan implies understanding one's own real nature. Because in the wake of which there'll be different perspective of the self and the world, and with which one can revel in fullness. One can free oneself from bondage. Therefore, let us see the next verse now. Everywhere emphasis is that we should understand Bhagavan. Okay. Mahatmanastumam partha daivim prakrutimashritaha. Mahatmanastumam partha daivim prakrutimashritaha. Bhajantyananyamanasaha, jnatvabhutadimauyayam, mahatmanastumam partha, daivim prakrutimashritaha. Bhajantyananyamanasaha, jnatvabhutadimauyayam. So people who do not have right understanding of Bhagavan being, these two prakritis constitute Bhagavan, and these two prakritis alone here manifest as this, the whole here. And how, with the understanding, without understanding Bhagavan, without understanding anything, when people live their lives, naturally they are confused. So all the desires which rise in ignorance, the fulfillment of desires in ignorance, all the efforts made in ignorance, all the understanding happening in ignorance, naturally will make them remain in confusion, delusion, being naturally given to the tamasic and rajasic natures. So here he says, Mahatmanaha, he Partha, he Arjuna, Mahatmanaha is a plural word of Mahatma. Mahatman is an akaranta shabda, where Mahatma is a singular word, Mahatmanaha plural word. So generally a wise person is called Mahatma. But here even the person who is a Viveki is called Mahatma. At least who understands, you know, who has Purushartha, who is a Jignyasuhu, who is a Mukshuhu, and who knows the value of Dharma, who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge of Bhagavan, understanding Bhagavan, for whom Bhagavan is the goal, such a person is also said to be Mahatma here. Generally the word Mahatma is used to mean a wise person. So Mahatmanaha means the people of wide understanding, people of noble, the noble-minded people, the great-minded people, the magnanimous people, who can say all these words. But here the noble-minded. The noble-minded are those who are very clear, who are not confused. So Mahatmanaha, Daivim Prakritim Mam Ashritaha. Mam Daivim Prakritim Ashritaha. Mahatmanaha, the noble minded are the people who are given to the sattvic nature, who have taken to the sattvic nature. Daivim Prakriti means sattvic nature, sattviki nature. And Mam Ashritaha. Daivim Prakritim Ashritaha means being given to sattvic nature. Mam Bhajanti. See, if one must be predominantly sattvic. Per person must be of sattvic nature in order to be inclined to understand Bhagavan. Even inclination to understand Bhagavan is not possible. The effort to understand Bhagavan is not possible if we are predominantly rajasic and tamasic. That's why there's always in Shastram, the Karma Yoga is emphasized repeatedly. For first of all, one has to drive the tamas, one has to become rajasic, and from being rajasic, one has to become sattvic predominantly, so that one becomes qualified for understanding the abstract fact of Bhagavan being the whole. Understanding of Bhagavan is possible. Inclination to understand Bhagavan is possible only if we are predominantly sattvic in nature. So not being sattvic in nature is not a problem, but there must be effort on our part to become sattvic. And we can become sattvic only when we manage rajas. And to be able to manage rajas, first of all, you must become rajasic. The tamas must be driven. That's why Karma Yoga is emphasized in the very beginning. Because performance of duties, that conscious living and thoughtful living commitment to dharma, all these things will really help one overcome tamas, so that one can be adequately active, so that one can become mentally subtle. One must be physically active. One must drive the tamas away in order to be rajasic. One must be rajasic in order to, you know, shift oneself from being rajasic to sattvic. The direct leap is always not possible. So here, and mahatmanaha means the noble minded. How is it possible? We have to understand that definitely by living a life of dharma, by living a life of karma yoga, and by being worshipful and prayerful. So following the Vedic way of life, naturally people become adequately prepared minded. The more a person is conscious of dharma, the more noble minded he is. Therefore here, mahatmanaha, the noble minded people alone, having taken to the sattvic nature, daivim prakriti marshitaha means having taken to, being given to the sattvic nature, having become predominantly sattvic. And what do they do? Mam bhajanti. Mam bhajanti means what? Then they discover, try to discover Bhagavan. How ananya manasaha mam bhajanti. Ananya manasaha is another important word here. Ananya manasaha. See, the mind goes, if the mind is committed to something else, then it is a anya manaha. The mind for which the object is other than Bhagavan, it is anya manaha. Ananya manasaha means the mind, the focused mind, the distraction free mind. Those people, the distraction free, disturbance free, focused minded people, ananya manasaha, that mind, they attain Bhagavan. Mam bhajanti. Mam bhajanti, attain Bhagavan, they discover Bhagavan. And how? Bhutadim avyayam jnatva bhajanti. And who is Bhagavan here? Bhutadihi. Avyayaha. The two words describing Bhagavan. Bhutadihi is one word. Avyayaha is another word. And bhutadim avyayam, an objective case. Mam jnatva bhajanti. They discover Bhagavan. They understand Bhagavan. Having understood Bhagavan, who is Bhutadihi. Bhutadihi, the first, the foremost of the beings is Bhutadihi. And then Avyayaha, the unchangeable, changeless, imperishable, the truth of all the beings, the cause of all beings, is avyayaha bhutadihi. You can take it as one word or take it as two words also. Avyayaha bhutadihi, we can take avyaya as adjective of bhutadihi. Who is Bhagavan? Bhagavan is the source. Bhagavan is the only cause. Bhagavan is the truth of all beings. And this truth, Bhagavan, the truth of all beings is what? Is imperishable. Because imperishable, the truth of everything, which lends existence to everything, cannot be perished by anything. Because Bhagavan is the very truth which lends existence to everything. The very cause of everything. The source of everything. So everything else is dependent on Bhagavan in the form of truth. But how can the dependent beings, dependent world, do any harm to Bhagavan, the truth? Therefore, avyayam bhutadim jnatva, having discovered, having arrived at me, Bhagavan, the Lord, in the form of the truth, the cause of all beings, the imperishable truth of all the beings, these people mam bhajanti. They mam bhajanti, which means they celebrate, they worship me. They worship me how? Ananya manasaha, without any distraction. Ananya manasaha, the focused mind, the distraction-free mind, they worship me. Having understood me, they worship me. See, people who do not understand me, and they are predominantly rajasic and tamasic, they are confused. Whereas people who are sattvic and they understand me, having understood me, how Bhagavan is, and they worship me, they become committed, remain committed to me without any, with a distraction free mind. See, first of all, understanding of Bhagavan is also important. In order to remain focused, you know, without any distraction. That is made very clear here. So, Mahatmanastumam Partha Daivim Prakrutimashritah Bhajantyananyamanasaha Jnatva Bhutadimauyayam. So we have to remember, because we are doing after a long break here, what Bhagavan did said in the previous verse, and what is he saying in this verse? So Krishna, Bhagavan Krishna discussed how people were people who do not have the understanding of Bhagavan and how they're confused, mentioned in the previous verse. Who have understanding of Bhagavan, how they worship Bhagavan with a focused, distraction-free mind, and have understood Bhagavan not as something in a given form, but as understanding Bhagavan as the very cause, the source, the very truth of all the imperishable truth of all the beings. So, Mahatmanaha, he is what now? People who are predominantly sattvic. Sattvaguna pradhanaha janaha mahatmanaha. Because, and even their parentage, their birth, and everything determines how they are noble minded. It means they value values, they value the disciplines, they value universal values, they value religious disciplines, they know the value of prayer, the efficacy of prayer, they know the significance of worship, and they understand Bhagavan, which means they live a prayerful, worshipful life of values. As people naturally are predominantly sattvic, which means, predominantly sattvic means what? Naturally, they live a life of karma yoga. You can say they also live life of panchamaha yajnaha. For such people, it is easy. They understand Bhagavan for them is not something ordinary. Bhagavan for them is the bhutadihi. Bhagavan for them is avyaha bhutadihi. Is the beginningless, endless, changeless, imperishable source, the truth of all the beings. And having, with such an understanding of Bhagavan, and they are very focused, without any distraction, their mind, they worship Bhagavan ultimately to discover him. This is what is said in this 13th verse. See this, when you say they worship Bhagavan, means worshipping Bhagavan again is not simply doing the other kayikam, vachikam, manasam, karma. Which means having Bhagavan as the goal, they live their life. So even the arthak, they may be given to the pursuit of arthakama dharmas, but they know for them moksha is the ultimate goal. They know jnanam is the ultimate goal. And jnanam and moksha being identical, they are very clear about. Therefore, they are not distracted. See, distraction-free minded means dispassionate mind also. Where there is passion, there will be distraction. There will be disturbance. There will be unsteadiness. You know, there cannot be focus. The focus, no, because focus is not possible. Because you will be wandering all over. Focus is not possible means you are everywhere. Everywhere means they're highly restless, disturbed, distractions. Why? Because there is no viveka. So viveka is not there, then vairagyam is not possible. Vairagyam is not there, focus being, the focus is not possible. Focus is not there, distraction is unavoidable. Distraction unavoidable, disturbance is unavoidable means, and then there's no sattvika buddhi. You know, sattvic nature is not possible. So here, what is said, that's why these people, because of viveka, because of vairagyam, they have this, they know the value of values, they know the dharma, they know the importance and value, they value these religious disciplines also, therefore they are not disturbed. Therefore, when the Purushartha Nischeha itself is there, then they can be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. They can live their lives, but still without any distraction, disturbance. For Ananya Manasaha, is what now? For whom goal is very clear. In Bhagavad Gita's language, Vyavasayatmika Buddhihi Yesham. Okay? Te Ananya Manasaha. Vyavasayatmika Buddhihi means what? Single pointed. They know goal is Bhagavan. Goal is the truth. Goal is knowledge of the truth. Goal is moksha because it's choiceless end. You cannot separate moksha, reality, the truth. You cannot separate. Okay? Moksha is my choiceless end. Happiness is my choiceless end. There's no happiness without discovering Bhagavan. There's no discovery of Bhagavan without discovering the truth. And there's no way of discovering the truth in terms of Bhagavan, in terms of truth, and discovering happiness without being committed to the pursuit of knowledge and also living a life of dharma. Therefore, for such people are here described in this 413th verse as Mahatmanaha, and they pursue, they're given to the pursuit of knowledge of Bhagavan, and this is called bhajanam. Okay, jignasu bhaktas. How they live? Ananya manasaha. Without any distraction, the focused attention, Bhagavan is the goal, and they live the life enjoined by the Shastra. Okay? This is what? And in their understanding, Bhagavan is avyaha bhutadihi. Okay, next. Satatam kirtayanto maam yatantaschadrudhavrataha. Satatam kirtayanto maam yatantaschadrudhavrataha. Namasyantascha maam bhaktya nityayukta upasate. Satatam kirtayanto maam yatantaschadrudhavrataha namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha tridhavrataha namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. So here upasate, upasate means worship. So mam upasate, Bhagwan continues to talk about those discriminate, vivek, mumukshus, jignasus, the people of purushartha nischayaha, who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge of Bhagwan, who are not simply bhaktas, artha bhaktas, rati bhaktas, but who are jignasu bhaktas, real devotees who want to know Bhagwan. And such people, they worship Bhagavan. How do they worship? No? Mam upasate. They worship me means nitya yuktaha mam upasate. Nitya yuktaha upasate means they worship me. How? Nitya yuktaha. Nitya yukta means, nityam here means ever, always. Yukta means they are ever focused. Nitya yukta means ever focused. They never forget. They may be doing so many things, but they never forget their goal. Bhagavan never goes away from them. There's never, Bhagavan is forgotten in their lives. Which means they're ever steadfast. Nitya yukta means ever steadfast, ever focused, ever steadfast. They worship me. Nitya yuktaha mam upasate. They worship me as ever steadfast. We can say, not only that, nityayuktaha dridhavrataha. Nityayuktaha dridhavrataha. Dridhavrataha. Resolve with a firm commitment. With a firm resolve. The people of firm resolve, the dhavrataha. And the people ever steadfast, they are ever steadfast, nityayuktaha. The dhavrataha, nityayuktaha, they worship me. But how? Satatam yatantaha. They are people of constant effort. So, yatantaha means as people of constant, continuous effort. We make efforts and we soon become tired. How long should there's no patience? I work and work, nothing is happening, then we lose interest. So until, that's what we, the prapyavara nibodhata, actually, make efforts. How? When should you stop making efforts? Only after you are achieving what you want to achieve. Until then, the effort must be continuous. Doesn't matter how long it takes. For people of constant, continuous efforts are called yatantaha. So, yatantaha, didhavrataha, nityayuktaha, yatantaha, making efforts constantly, striving constantly, yatantaha, how satatam yatantaha, and then satatam means constantly making efforts, and also satatam should go with every verb, kirtayantaha, kirtayantaha, now kirtayantaha praising, satatam kirtayantaha, constantly praising, constantly making efforts, and constantly namasyantaha, constantly bowing to me. See, bowing to me again, the physically offering pranams to Bhagavan is physical namaskaraha. You know, when you prostrate in front of murti, in front of any murti, looking at it as Bhagavan's symbol, then that is namaskar, physical action. Actually, if physical action, namaskara, actually you reveal something else. I'll tell you that what it is today. Namasyantaha means actually surrendering oneself to Bhagavan. Namasyantaha, offering namaskara to Bhagavan, now praising Bhagavan, constantly making efforts, the people, and these people who are ever steadfast and who are a firm resolve, they worship Bhagavan. Means here the word namasyantaha, kirtayantaha, now praising Bhagavan, yatantaha, constantly making efforts in their whatever is possible to know Bhagavan, discover Bhagavan. Dadavrataha, there are firm resolve, and such people, you know, they worship me, means. So the important word here is namasyantaha. So how can always satatam kirtanam, the singing in praise of God or glorifying Bhagavan, praising Bhagavan always is possible? Only if there is association also with the people who appreciate Bhagavan's glories. Otherwise it is not possible. Satatam kirtanam means always being conscious of one's goal being moksha. Always being conscious of one's goal being knowledge of the truth. Always. Once you get up in the morning, the mind, what should come to my mind is, this life, to this day of my life, this span of life has begun ultimately to discover Bhagavan. And so there must be a prayer. Hey Bhagavan, may you reveal the Swarupam to me, obtaining in my own mind as my own Swarupam. The day should begin with the prayer. Then there is a kirtanam, because already this, you are everywhere, you are everything, you are in me, may reveal the Swarupam to me. So Khatatam Kirtana means there's always association is with mumukshus, with jignasus, who do not forget their goal. That's what Satatam Kirtanam. So if association is with the people who do not have Purushartha Nischaya and for whom Artha Kamas are the goals, then naturally it is difficult to have Satatam Kirtanam. Because then there'll be Artha Kirtanam, there'll be Kama Kirtanam. We've been interested in discussing the Artha and Kama. How to achieve that, how to achieve this. Therefore, here Bhagavad Kirtanam, praising of Bhagavan, means always dwelling upon the importance of Bhagavan is actually Kirtanam also here. Not simply singing Bhajanam alone. It is also important. Haradam Kirtanam. So, therefore, the effort also is constant effort. Yatantaha means is a life, living one's life consciously with all alertness in every situation is involves effort. Is not an easy joke. If I had to prepare my mind for discovering the Bhagavan in the form of very truth as in my own mind, then this mind has to be adequately pure and steady, for which it is a constant effort is involved, not simply, which means every situation there's a challenge when we will be cornered to go against dharma, but consciously living a life of dharma involves great effort. Again, one must be highly prayerful to seek Bhagavan's grace to have the strength to live a life of dharma. It's not an easy joke at all. That is why yatantaha means it involves a great effort, tremendous effort. One must be very strong to be able to live a life of values and to be worshipful, to be thoughtful, prayerful also, which means for which Bhagavan's grace is important, which means this person who is of constant effort he is making, which means he's making constant efforts because for to prepare himself for this knowledge and because of his firm resolve. The constant tireless effort is possible only if the person is of very firm resolve that knowledge alone will free me from bondage. Nothing else will free me from bondage. What I ultimately seek and want is knowledge. That's why Purushartha Nischaya is a very firm. This person is very firm of his end. Therefore, such people, Didavrataha, they alone, Nityuktaha, for them, whatever they do, their mind is not deviated from Bhagavan. Artha pursuit is ultimately for Bhagavan, discovering Bhagavan. Kama pursuit is ultimately for discovering Bhagavan. Living a life of Dharma, of course, is definitely for preparing one's mind for Bhagavan. Everything is focused on Bhagavan. Bhagavan becomes the focus. Nityuktaha, and such people surrender. Namasyantaha means they offer themselves to Bhagavan. And then that is what physically revealed. Whenever we fall flat, women do Panchanga Namaskara, men do Sashtanga Namaskara, Ashtanga Namaskara, through which what we reveal is, O Lord, I offer this body to you. Means, please bless, there's a prayer involved. Please bless me with the knowledge and the strength to choose to do the right action, to refrain from the wrong action. I offer my hands to you. I offer my legs to you. I offer this body to you. All my angas I offer to you. Means, may I use this body only to do right action. May refrain from the wrong action. That is the prayer implied. Whenever we offer Adi Namaskaram, there's a prayer implied. May I not misuse this body when it's compressed for doing anything wrong. May I use this properly, using my will to do the right action. They offer. And whatever I do physically, Kayena Vacha, whatever I do, I offer all my actions to thee. Because ultimately, what I seek through all my actions, all my efforts is, to all my results, what I ultimately seek is your Swarupam. Therefore, Namasyantaha means offering themselves to Bhagavan means that offering one's actions, offering one's results, offering everything one has, offering one's own self to Bhagavan, offering one's will to Bhagavan in the form of Dharma. What they worship Bhagavan means they only seek Bhagavan's Swarupa Jnanam. Satatam Kirtayanto Mam Yatantascha Dridhavrataha Namasyantascha Mam Bhaktya Nitya Yukta Upasate. All these words actually repeatedly emphasize the commitment. Nitya Yuktaha also emphasizes the commitment. Whenever we understand Namaskaraha, I bow to Bhagavan. I mean, when we say I bow to Bhagavan, or whenever we say we offer prostrations to Bhagavan, salutations to Bhagavan, what we imply is two surrenders. I discussed many times before. There is a relative surrender, Sharanagati, and there is absolute surrender, Sharanagati. I said, if you discover Bhagavan as the very truth of the whole, obtaining in one's own mind, then you see there's nothing outside of the truth. It's another important fact. There is nothing outside of Bhagavan. Everything is Bhagavan. This is the subtlest fact. Once you discover this fact of Bhagavan being the whole, there's nothing other than Bhagavan, outside of Bhagavan, then you have already resolved yourself in Bhagavan. When you see everything is Bhagavan means you do not see yourself being separately existing outside of Bhagavan. not seeing oneself being outside of, independent of, different from Bhagavan is what having one's identity with the Bhagavan. And having one's identity with Bhagavan is what? Having one's individuality resolved in Bhagavan, the totality. And thereby, the vision is what? All that is there is only Bhagavan. There is nothing other than Bhagavan. Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat. Maybe our Srila conference may say Sarvam Shivamayam Jagat. Doesn't matter whether you say Vishnumayam Jagat or Shivamayam Jagat. All that is, there is only Bhagavan. If this is the vision, then there is no individuality anymore. The individuality is already resolved. You live as an individual, but still your individuality is cognitively resolved in Bhagavan, the totality. That is the absolute surrender. Where am I? Where is the Jagat other than Bhagavan? If you say, that is absolute surrender, which means you have offered your own self to Bhagavan. This I discussed many times in my previous classes. And what is relative surrender? And for this jnanam, for this appreciation of this fact of Bhagavan being the whole, you must be subtle minded, and to have the such subtle and prepared mind, and one has to consciously with all efforts live a life of dharma, and which in which one's will becomes offered to Bhagavan in the form of order. I'm committed to do only right things, and then I refrain from my wrong actions means my personal likes and dislikes are never considered. I do not give importance for what I like and what I do not like. What I want to do, I do not want to do. I do not give importance at all for my own personal likes and dislikes. My importance is given only to what is right, what is appropriate, I do, whether I like it or not. I do not do what is inappropriate, what is not right, which means my importance is given for the right and wrong. What is right, I do. What is wrong, I refrain from. I try my best. I seek Bhagavan's grace also to be able to do the right, to be able to refrain from the wrong, which means my personal likes and dislikes never govern, never dictate my actions. My external physical behavior is completely governed by my knowledge of right and wrong, not by my knowledge, my likes and dislikes. Even though all my actions I do to fulfill my desires, but still my desires alone do not govern my actions. Which means, where is my will now? Where is my willpower? What happened to my will? My will becomes surrendered to Bhagavan. And Bhagavan, in what form? My will is surrendered to Bhagavan in the form of dharma. Bhagavan in the form of universal, natural, moral, law and order. Bhagavan is the very order. Bhagavan is in the form of natural law. All the natural laws which determine the results of actions. Therefore, I surrender my will to Bhagavan in the form of law and order, which means all my actions are simply governed by my knowledge of right and wrong, not dictated by my likes and dislikes. Therefore, means my will becomes surrendered to Bhagavan. This surrendering one's will to Bhagavan in the form of law and order, in the form of dharma, is relative sharanagati. And when, as a result of which, I become subtle, sensitive, prepared, adequately, pure and steady-minded person, in the presence of which, when I'm able to discover, appreciate this beautiful, wonderful, subtlest effect of Bhagavan being the whole, all that is, there is only Bhagavan. Where is I? Where is this? Where is that? Where is Jagat? You resolve all pronouns in Bhagavan, resolve all nouns in Bhagavan, resolve all substantives in Bhagavan, resolve all the forms written by words in Bhagavan, resolve all the functions associated with the words in Bhagavan. Everything is Bhagavan. there, Bhagawan for us me is the very reality, very source of everything, the truth of everything. When you say your individuality is just resolves in totality, then you have offered yourself to Bhagawan. Begin, the offerer himself has been offered to Bhagawan. You know, as long as you're worshipping Bhagawan, you differentiate yourself as an offerer and you offer everything to Bhagawan. And you see yourself, Bhagawan is the one who is offered to, and there are things like coconut and banana, all the prasadams you offer to Bhagawan, and you see yourself as an offerer. But there's a time everything becomes offered to Bhagawan cognitively, intellectually, you know. Then you see yourself being non-separate from Bhagawan. You see nothing being separate from Bhagawan. Then that is called offering one's own self to Bhagawan is possible only cognitively, only through knowledge. And that offering is called what? Actually, absolute surrender. So Pooja Swami used to say, seeing one's own self being non-separate from Bhagawan is the absolute surrender. That is Sharanagati, which is Jnanam, which is Moksha. That is why Sharanagati Reva Moksha. It means, this is what Sharanagati is. Not simply saying, I surrender to Bhagawan, I surrender to Bhagawan. If you simply say physically, that's okay, at least nice expression to say. But Sharanagati takes place only in Jnanam. In Jnanam, there is absolute Sharanagati. In living a life of Dharma, there is relative Sharanagati. And only, that's why protection is only in Sharanagati. If you want to be protected by Bhagawan, then Sharanagati is the only means. Sharanagati means live a life of Dharma, surrender yourself to Bhagawan Dharma of Dharma, then you are protected by Bhagawan Dharma of Dharma. Dharmaha rakshati rakshitaha. But when you understand Bhagawan, you see you that's called you losing yourself in Bhagawan the whole. Losing the hankar, yourself in Bhagawan the whole is what? Absolute surrender. Okay, this is how Mahatma people live. Namasyantaha. Nityuktaha, they live and they are Mahatmanaha, people of predominantly sattvic nature. They do that. Okay, we'll go to the next verse.
Jnana yajnena chapyanye yajanto mamupasate. Jnana yajnena chapyanye yajanto mamupasate. Yekatvena prathatvena bahudha visvato mukham. Jnana yajnena chapyanye yajanto mamupasate. Yekatvena prathatvena bahudha visvato mukham. Jnana yajnena chapyanye yajanto mamupasate. Yekatvena bahutvena pruthatvena. Yekatvena pruthatvena bahudha visvato mukham.
So we saw how people worship, people of Purushartha Nishchaya, how they pursue Bhagavan. Here we see again, see, once we have Bhagavan as the ultimate goal, instead of using the term truth as the ultimate goal, knowledge of the truth is the ultimate goal, we use a different expression, Bhagavan is my ultimate goal. We can say the knowledge of the truth is my ultimate goal. Tattva jnanam is my ultimate goal. You can say, or Bhagavat Sakshatkaraha is my ultimate goal. Same meaning. There's no difference. Tattva Jnanam is my goal, my lakshyam, Jivita lakshyam, Jivana lakshyam, or you can say Bhagavat Sakshatkara is my ultimate goal. The same, there's no difference. But once you have Bhagavan as the goal, ultimate goal, and our understand, there's a gradual enhancement of clarity also of Bhagavan. There's a gradual enhancement, that gradually thinnest and thinnest and layers of vagueness will be resolving. That is why we always say jnanam is not a sudden flash of light, one event happening in a given time. It's always gradually resolving the thinnest layers of vagueness and gradually having the enhanced clarity. So here in this verse, upasate, again upasate, mam upasate. The word upasate literally means worship. See, pursuing, being given to the study of the scriptures, being given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga. We have to take this very clearly. Being given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga is a form of worship. Rishi Yajnaha or Brahma Yajnaha. So being given to the discipline of the Jnana Yoga means being given to the study, systematic study of the scriptures, or being given to the discipline of listening to the unfoldment of texts like Upanishad Bhagavad Gita, and always trying to reflect on what is heard in the class, and always trying to dwell upon what has been clearly understood in the teaching, through the teaching, is being given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga. It means involving oneself in Shravanam or Mananam or Nididhyasanam is this being given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga, which itself is a form of worship known as Jnana Yajna, Jnana Yajna, Rishi Yajna, Brahma Yajna. So trying to understand what this universe is, what I am, what Bhagavan is, how essentially everything is one. Understanding of this fact itself is what involves the discipline of Jnana Yoga and which is a form of worship. Therefore, here, mam upasate means anye mam upasate. Some people worship me. Anye means other people, mam upasate, worship me. How they worship me? Jnana yajnena. Anye jnana yajnena cha api, and also anye, some other people worship me through jnana yajna. Jnana yajnena, third case, so jnana yajnena, by, with, through, but here it's like through jnana yajna, also other, and also other people, they worship me through jnana yajna. Through jnana yajna means what now? In the form of jnana yajna. The form of worship is different. There are people who worship me, you know, in a given form. There are people who worship me as the Bhagavan, as the Vishwarupaha. There are people who worship me as Ekarupaha. Different forms, the different forms of worship. Some people perform rituals and offer oblations also. Another form of worship. the different forms of worship. And here the exalted form of worship is the worshipping Bhagavan, worship of Bhagavan in the form of pursuit of knowledge being given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga involving Shravanam, Mananam and Nidhyasanam. So he says, Jnana Yajnena Mam Upasate Anye Cha Api Anye Jnana Yajnena Upasate. How? Yajantaha. Yajantaha Mam Jnana Yajnena Upasate. So, the word upasate means worship, but you can also upasate, you can say meditate. Meditate means not simply, I don't want to use the word meditate, actually people dwell upon upasate. People remember, people always have Bhagavan in their focus. Upasate means that some people always have Bhagavan in their attention. The attention is on Bhagavan. Having one's attention always in Bhagavan. Now, whatever we do, we never lose sight of our goal. Always having one's attention in Bhagavan is called what? Thinking of Bhagavan always. Which is meant by the verb upasate. That also other people who always have Bhagavan in their focus. Bhagavan, the folk attention in Bhagavan, remember Bhagavan, always think of Bhagavan through the worship in the form of Jnana Yajna. Okay, it means Jnana Yajna Yajanti, means what? They worship me through Jnana Yajna, means they worship Bhagavan in the form of Jnana Yajna. Means being given to the discipline of Jnana Yajna involving Shravanam, Mananam, Nidhyasanam is what? Itself is a form of worship. This is how some people worship. Because once you're listening to the unfoldment of Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita, who are you talking about? Where is your mind? When you're listening to the unfoldment of Bhagavad Gita verses, listen to unfoldment of Upanishad mantras. What are you thinking of? Upanishad grabs your attention. Bhagavad Gita grabs your attention. And see your mind is, attention is placed in the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. It means you are dwelling upon Bhagavan only. Therefore, this is the form of worship. Shastra study, Shravanam itself is a Jnana Yajna. Mananam is a Jnana Yajna. Nidhyasanam is a Jnana Yajna. It was a worship in the form of listening to the unfoldment of the scriptures, dwelling upon the teaching, reflecting upon the teaching is what? Jnana Yajna. This is how some people worship me. You may not see them doing all sorts of pujas, long pujas, but all the time sitting and reading. No, you can see many Westerners, we see them. They don't know how to do pujas. They don't know how to go to temples. But still, if they do not value it, it's a different problem. You may be involved in Jnana Yajna, but you must never undervalue the other rituals, etc. Knowing the value of all the rituals, the karma, etc. Because validating, we must be able to validate worship, prayer, murti worship, going to temples, performing rituals, all the karmas, household duties, dharma anushtanam, everything must validate the right of the teaching. That is different. But some people, now when they grow out naturally and always involved in studying the scriptures, having Bhagavan as the goal, and this means that is a form of worship. Jnana Yajnena Anye Yajantaha Mamupasate. They think of Bhagavan, remember Bhagavan, keep Bhagavan always in their attention. Attention is always in Bhagavan
through the study, through the jnana yajna, but being given to the discipline of jnana yoga. Okay. Now, ekatvena prithatvena bahudha vishvato mukham. Bahudha yajantaha, means what now? They worship Bhagavan in manifold ways, in many ways. Bahudha. They worship in different ways. They worship in many ways. People worship Bhagavan in many ways, in different ways. Bahudha. How? Prithaktvena. Prithak means separate, different. Prithaktvam means as the one different. Prithaktvam is separateness, difference. Prithaktvena with the difference. Ekatvena as oneness. They worship Bhagavan in many ways. How some people worship Bhagavan as the one being different from oneself. And some people worship Bhagavan as the one who is non-different from oneself. Ekatvena. So having identity with Bhagavan as one's own self, some people worship Bhagavan. Some people worship Bhagavan as the one different from oneself. Prithaktvena, ekatvena. With the difference, prithaktva means with separateness. With a notion of being separate from oneself. With the separateness or with the oneness. Ekatvena, prithaktvena, bahudha, in many ways. Okay, now so what? Vishvato mukham. You know, as the multifarious one. Vishvato mukham. So these are people worship. Bhagavan is just presenting how people worship the Lord. Some, how Bhagavan is in the lives of people. People who are jignasus, who are mukshus, some people have Bhagavan in their lives in the form of their study of the scriptures. Some people worship Bhagavan as somebody, one different from themselves. And seeing themselves being different from Bhagavan. Some people see themselves being non-separate from Bhagavan. And some people worship Bhagavan multifarious, as multifarious one. These are people worship. Having said that, how they worship. Somehow Bhagavan is in their thoughts. As long as Purushartha Nischaya is there, then any form of worship will gradually bring them to, will bless them with what they need to ultimately know. So some people appreciate Bhagavan's swarupam being formless. Appreciation of Bhagavan's rupam being formless, being arupam. Appreciation of Bhagavan's form being formless is what? Ekatva darshanam, ekatva yajanam, ekatvena yajanam. Worshipping Bhagavan as the one who is formless, in which they see the world and the self as one, everything as one, Bhagavan. The prithaktvam means they see Bhagavan as the, they see themselves being separate from Bhagavan, which means for them, then they don't see Bhagavan as the one for formless.
Either they see Bhagavan as the whole, or Bhagavan as the creator of the universe, or Bhagavan in the given form. They see themselves being different from Bhagavan. So there are different ways of worshipping Bhagavan in keeping with the level of understanding of Bhagavan. So here we see, but anyway, the mind is in Bhagavan, focus is in Bhagavan. But in keeping with the Shraddha, definitely they will enjoy the benefit of the form of worship. Finally, and the exalted form of worship is what? I said, worship is, as I said, the absolute surrender, in the form of absolute surrender, seeing oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan, seeing the whole Jagat being non-separate from Bhagavan, seeing everything as the manifestation of Bhagavan is the most exalted form of worship, because worship itself is a symbolic act of offering. And here, the Yajanam means worship. Symbolic act of offering is worship. And it is the Jnana Yajna when you say. Jnana Yajna means there in this Jnana Yajna, one, when being given to the discipline of Shravanamana Nidhyasam also, finally what happens? One cognitively offers oneself to Bhagavan. Cognitively offers the whole Jagat into Bhagavan, which means everything becomes resolved in Bhagavan the whole. All it is only Bhagavan the whole. And this is actually, as I said earlier, the absolute surrender. This is the highest form of worship where one offers oneself to Bhagavan. Once oneself to Bhagavan. Offering something else to Bhagavan is easy, but offering one's own self to Bhagavan involves great effort, because in offering one's own self to Bhagavan, you know, when seeing yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan, you offer yourself to Bhagavan. There you lose your individuality. You lose identity. No, you just say, you lose identity means what now? You use individuality and you just see yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan. And that is ekatvena. Okay. Ekatvena means worshipping Bhagavan with, as the one non-separate from oneself. Anyway, what Bhagavan is saying, continues in this following verses. Everything, all that is there is aham. Bhagavan has to make it very clear. He says in the following verses, aham kraturaham yajna, aham kraturaham yajna. See how one can see everything being non-separate from Bhagavan, for which Bhagavan gives a beautiful teaching here. Aham kraturaham yajna swadhahamaham aushadham mantrohamahamevachyam aham agniraham hutam aham kraturaham yajnah swadhahamaham aushadham mantrohamahamevachyam aham agniraham hutam. So here Bhagavan says that I am everything. It means we are supposed to appreciate this Bhagavan being the whole, for which the teaching begins here. Ahameva அகம் கிரதுஹு.
கிரதுஹு மீன்ஸ் a form of ritual.
Yajna is also a form of ritual. I taught the difference between Yajna and Kratuhu in Ramayanam class or some other class.
No, we saw in Upanishad also. Kratavaha, Sayupaha, Ayupaha.
The ritual performed with a sacrificial post is called Sayupaha.
Yupa means
a sacrificial post.
The ritual performed with the sacrificial post is Sayupaha, which is called Kratuhu.
And ritual performed without the sacrificial post is called Yajna.
Same ritual.
So Yajna, Kratuhu is also means what? Yajna.
A ritual only. A fire ritual.
But performed with the sacrificial post where they tie the animal.
Like Ashwamedha Yaga, etc. When they perform, they have to tie, they have to have a sacrificial post to which the horse is tied.
Like that. So it's called Kratuhu.
And Yajna is a ritual performed without the sacrificial post.
Bhagavan says, what is this Kratuhu?
Aham Kratuhu.
I, the self, am the ritual, Arjuna.
I am the ritual. I am the fire ritual prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda Shastra.
Aham Yajnaha.
I am the ritual.
I am the fire ritual performed without the sacrificial post.
I am also other form of rich, further other form of ritual prescribed by the Smriti.
See, Smriti prescribes form of worship. Shruti prescribes form of worship.
We can take the meaning of the word in two different ways. First you say Kratuhu as the ritual performed with the sacrificial post.
Yajna as a ritual performed without the sacrificial post.
And otherwise you can take it as what?
Yakratuhu as the ritual, fire ritual prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda.
Yajna as the worship, form of worship prescribed by the Smriti, Smriti Grantha.
So even though the forms of worship differ from each other, the spirit behind the forms of worship is one and the same.
That is understandable only through the Veda Shastra.
The spirit behind the different forms of worship being the one and the same can be understood through the proper study of the Shastra Mandi,
for which we must understand the significance of worship.
We must know worship itself means of worship itself is a symbolic expression of one's gratitude to.
Worship is a symbolic act of offering through which we express our gratitude to Bhagavan in the form of all natural phenomena for their abundance of contribution for our wellness, for our life. That is worship.
So here all forms of worship are Bhagavan only.
Bhagavan says here, Aham Kratuhu.
Aham Yajna.
So I am the form of worship prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda.
I am the form of worship prescribed in the Smriti also.
Then Swadha Aham.
Aham Swadha.
See, Swadha is a word used to mean the oblations offered into the fire as the food to the ancestors.
When we offer oblations into the fire as an offering to our ancestors is called Swadha.
Swadha means Pitru
Yajna. When you do is called swadha. The food offered in the form of oblation to the ancestors is called swadha. And Bhagavad Krishna says, I am the very ritual. I'm all forms of ritual. Aham kratuhu, aham yajna, aham swadha. The ritual, I am the ritual. I am the oblation offered into the fire. Then, aham aushadham. Swadha aham aushadham. Aham aushadham. Aushadham actually literally means what? We derived from the word oshadhihi. Oshadhibhyaha jatam aushadham, which you all must have read in Taittiriya Upanishad class. Oshadhibhyaha jatam aushadham. Anything extracted from, made out of herb, vegetation, vegetable is what? Aushadham. So the even food is aushadham because food is vegetarian. Aham aushadham means Bhagavan says, I the self am all the nutrients obtaining in all the, I am the very food essence available in all the, and the entire vegetation. World of vegetation, all the vegetables. I am the food. I am the food. I am the nutrients in all the, extracted from all the plants. Simple. Aham aushadham. So don't go in search of Bhagavan anywhere. When you see any leaf, any greens you eat, any vegetable you eat, any plant you eat, everything you eat is what? Actually, in everything you eat, there is Bhagavan hiding in the form of the nutrients of the plants you eat. Every plant you eat is Bhagavan actually. Therefore, aham aushadham is what it is. Otherwise said, ahamannam, ahamannam, ahamannam. I am very food. Bhagavan says that. He says, aham aushadham. I am food. Aham the herbal extract. I am the essence. I am the nutrients of the vegetables and the vegetation. In the obtaining of the food of all living creatures. Whichever living being survives in the world, and every living being survives because of the food, and the food that every living creature needs is from, originally from the plant, and that nutrient in the plants is what? I am that nutrient. I am the food. Aushadham. Aham aushadham. Aham kratuhu. Aham yajna, aham swadha, aham aushadham. He says, aham mantra. Whatever the mantra which is chanted during the performance of a ritual. Okay, and now aham mantra. Okay, when food is offered, whether it is swadha, whether the food is offered to the ancestors or to the devatas. Actually, we also have another word. Swaha also we say. When the food is offered to devatas, we say swaha. And therefore, the food offered to devatas, whether it's a deva yagya or pitri yagya, whether the food offered to ancestors, anyway, everything, I am, that's of swadha. And therefore, when, during offering, you say the mantra, I am that mantra also. Aham mantraha. Aham mantraha. Mantraha aham. Ahameva ajyam. Ajyam means ghee. But I told you many times before, ajyam ghee melted in sunlight is called ajyam. This ghee melted on the fire is what? Ghritam. You buy unsalted butter and then you heat it, make ghee. On the fire, it is ghritam. But imagine in December, if you want ajyam in London. Okay? Your butter will become another ice piece. So you will not, you can't get ajyam. And so you have to have special, that is why it's possible only in a tropical country. That's why the things are suitable appropriately for in Bharatam, India. So Ajyam is what? Ghee melted in sunlight, not in fire, is Ajyam. So that ghee they offer it for performing ritual. Aham eva Ajyam. I am the offering. I am the oblation offered. I am the oblation offered in the form of Ajyam, ghee. Ajyam is ahameva ajyam, aham agnihi. And the fire into which the oblation is offered, I the self am the fire into which the oblation is offered. The ghee is poured also. Aham agnihi, then aham hutam. I am the very oblation myself. Hutam means oblation. So I am the oblation offered into the fire. I am the very fire into which oblation is offered. I am the ghee, the fuel offered to the fire. And aham, I am the mantra which is chanted during the oblation of the offering, during the offering of oblation into the fire. And I am the very nutrients of all the plants. Therefore, I am the very food of all the beings. I am in your food. I am Swadha. I am the food specially offered to the ancestors. I am the food of all other living beings in this world also. The food offered to Bhagavan is my, the ancestors is myself. And the food of all living beings remaining in the form of nutrients of the vegetation also myself. And I am the very ritual. Aham the Kratuhu. Aham, I am the very form of worship. I am the worship myself. Aham the offering. Okay. Aham kratuho. Aham yajnaha. Aham, there's nothing which is not Bhagavan here. You know who is missing here? The offerer is still missing. I tell you, it is in these verses you will beautifully, thoroughly, clearly understand the significance of worship. I'll see that later on. Tell you later on how. Aham kraturaham yajnaha swadhahamaham aushadham mantrohamahamevajyam aham ahamagniraham hutam. Beautiful verses follow. I have to stop. So I'll see you next class, definitely the same time. Okay? So much is there to say. Reading the verse, I want to do the literal meanings. I will explain a lot of things next class. Because we will see after a long break, New Year.
Swamini, can I ask a quick question, please?
Of course, Doctor, please.
It's something that has been asked before by one of the participants in the group.
Yeah.
You always say one has to cognitively resolve oneself in Bhagavan. And
yeah.
My understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, is if it is up to me, I want to cognitively resolve this very moment. But I think it all depends on His grace. Once He decides I'm worthy of realization, then He, with His grace, unveils the Maya, and then I realize He has been all around so close to me and I have not seen Him. So I'm just understanding it. I have to just put effort till He decides to reveal Himself. Is that right?
No, actually, when we listen to the teaching, when the nature of reality is analyzed and inquired into, then the Upanishadic methods of unfoldment help you arrive at the truth. And once you arrive at the truth, and from the standpoint of the truth, when you see, there's nothing beyond the truth. And from the standpoint of the truth, you arrive at the truth as what? As first of all, your own essential nature. That's why we say take Shastram as the Pramana. We are not using any of our things as our pramana. For us, pramanam is shastram. The means of knowledge is shastram. We surrender ourselves to Shruti Mata. We use the Shruti Mata where Upanishad as the pramanam. And then there's methods of unfoldment and the shastram uses for us to be able to arrive at the truth. Once using those methods and we only arrive at the truth, when the teacher is unfolding, arrive at the truth, and from the standpoint of the truth, if you see, you understand the fact very clearly, there's nothing beyond the truth. And truth is distinct beyond everything means, truth is beyond all forms, names and functions. Truth is beyond all thoughts, means truth is distinct from everything. But nothing beyond truth, but truth is beyond everything. Truth is distinct from everything, nothing distant from the truth. When you see, and from the standpoint of the truth which you clearly arrive at, you can see this fact. There is no such thing called I. There is no such thing called Jagat, which has independent existence of its own outside of this truth. The truth alone is Satya. Everything is Mithya when you say you are cognitively resolving the world and the truth. Physically don't do anything. Let me tell you again. Suppose when you see, relatively you do see the, it's a typical kindergarten example. You see the wave. Of course, the wave is, why do we use the term wave? Wave is different from the ocean. And wave is a small form. And wave is the word denoting its small form. And which is non-separate from the whole universe, the whole ocean. And there's also another word, ocean, which also denotes a given form. This different wave-ocean difference is definitely there, relatively, objectively. But if we analyze, there is no wave, there's no ocean other than the water. The wave, if you see what is wave is, if you arrive at, the wave has to be resolved in water only. You have to say wave is water. You are not, when you say wave is water, you are not physically doing anything, but still you have appreciation of the fact wave is definitely nothing but water. This appreciation of wave being water is not physical, it is cognitive. Isn't it? Do we do anything to say wave is water? We don't do anything physically, but we appreciate this fact by when you analyze what is wave is. We say wave is a small form and it's a form. And what is this wave? You see, you have to say, oh, the wave is only a form, a word denoting a given form, which will collapse without the water. The wave is water. When you say you are cognitively, intellectually resolving the wave form in the water. Similarly, when you understand, no, the whole ocean also is another word denoting a given big form, huge form in which all the waves are there, and that ocean, the total ocean also is nothing but water. Ocean is water, wave is water, therefore essentially wave and ocean are one, therefore the wave ocean difference is not there from the standpoint of water. In the standpoint of Namarupa, there's difference. Standpoint of water, there's no difference. Understand? Which means you are cognitively resolving the ocean in water in its truth. You're cognitively resolving the wave in its truth. And you say, there's neither wave nor ocean. What is only water. Similarly, here also, it is not, we are not doing anything here. When Vedanta Shastram helps you arrive at reality in terms of its real nature of knowing as Swarupam of the individual, you have to say, and the same truth is there as the truth of the whole Jagat. When you appreciate this fact, you say, ulti essentially, from the standpoint of the truth, there is no I. From the standpoint of water, there is no wave or ocean. Similarly, from the standpoint of reality in the form of pure knowledge, there is neither I nor the Jagat. This appreciation of subtle fact is not physical. It is, of course, we cognitively appreciate it because of the teaching. is what we say, cognitively resolving the individuality in totality. And you see, this Upanishad brings about this. This vision is brought about by Upanishad when we offer our attention to the Shastra unfoldment. We do not do anything. Of course, by Bhagavan's grace alone, we can study Shastram. By Bhagavan's grace alone, one must have punyam to be exposed to the teaching, to be inclined for studying the Shastram also. One needs Bhagavan's grace, no doubt at all. But this understanding, once you have given to the Hari of the Shastra, means you have surrendered yourself to Suti Mata. That is, you accept Veda Shastram as the Pramanam, then you allow yourself, to use Shastra as the Pramanam. Then Shastra Pramanam, when you operate, you cannot miss the vision of the truth. Swami Sisika says, there is no choice. Once you keep your eyes open, you use your instrument of seeing as with the eyes. Once you keep it open, you are making use of the eyes, means you do not have choice over seeing the light. Do you have any choice? I'll keep my eyes open, but I will not see the truth. Can you say that? I will not see the light. You have no choice. You have no choice. When the eyes are open, you do not have choice over seeing the light. Eyes are open means you have to see the light. You have to see the absence of light, presence of light. What I'm saying, eyes are functional. Similarly, pramanam is operated means what is revealed through, arrived through the pramanam cannot be prevented. So here, the Shastra unfoldment is such, Shastram helps you arrive at the truth. And from the standpoint of the truth, you see this fact of oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan, the whole. This is what cognitive appreciation is said. Cognitively resolving the individuality in totality means it is not that we are doing it. Shastram brings about this perspective change. We do not do anything here. Which is I which wants to do something here? Which I is that which wants to do something? This analysis of the individual, first of all, you analyzed you as an individual, what you are, what this body is. If an individual is a composition of these five layers of personality with a conscious being, what this body is all about, what these physiological functions are, what these sense organs are, what these organs of actions are, what this antakaranam is, what this mind is, what the three states of the mind are, what this waking state is, what deep sleep state is, what this dream state is, what is the truth of this, and what is that which is there always, and what do we mean by witness and sakshi, and what is the truth, what an individual is essentially. Of course, when you analyze only about the body, then it becomes a biology. Analyze other things, we can say chemistry, physics and also. But still, what is this? Because of what is that one thing? Because which everything is functioning. What essentially the individual is? When you arrive at it, then the teaching throughout is very clear, because nowhere the greatness of Veda itself, nowhere it contradicts our reasoning. If it contradicts, nobody will be sitting in the class again. Next class, nobody will be sitting. Which is a cock and bull story, isn't it? Nobody will be sitting in the class. The very fact we all go after Shastra, because every time, the child, no? The chalk, we give a small chocolate, child will be wandering behind you. You want a child walking behind you, the baby, give one chocolate is enough. You want to get the whole box. But we want the whole box. And it will taste, we'll be going after. And Upanishad Mata always has a big emotional hook. We cannot leave her at all. No, emotionally we're hooked to Shastram. we cannot get it off because we're so hooked. Because she gives such a comfort. She gives such a joy. She makes us understand the fact. She makes us see the truth, isn't it? We are emotionally who get hooked to the Shastra because Shastra Pramanam brings about a perspective change on our part. Shastram does not change anything. We do not change. We do not do anything. World does not do anything. The change alone is perspective change is brought about by the Shastram when we are given to the study of the Shastra. All that is there is Bhagavan is not, nothing is done here. Of course, Bhagavan's gaze is very, very, very important for us to study Shastram, to understand Shastram, to avoid the obstacles in studying the Shastram. We need Bhagavan's gaze throughout. Even to lift a finger, we need Bhagavan's gaze. Puja Swamiji always says, you want to learn grace? You are able to get up in the morning? Come on, you say, good morning. Then that you have grace. You get up, first of all, you get up from bed, you say grace. Then you walk to the toilet, it's a grace. Open the tap, water comes, grace. You have paste and brush, grace. You are able to brush, don't you? Somebody says help, it's grace. You're able to, when you go to the breakfast table, food is available, it's grace. Everything is, everything, nothing. Nothing can happen without Bhagavan's grace. That's a different thing. But here, exposure to the Shastram, when you offer yourself to Shruti, surrender to Shruti Mata, and she works on you, that the Shastra Pramanam brings about this perspective change. That's where no change happens other than perspective change. And perspective change is not physical, cognitive, isn't it? What do we do physically? You change it. First you see wave is different from ocean. Ocean is different from wave. It is your perception. And later on somebody comes and shows you, come on, there's no wave, there's no ocean. What is this? Only water. This difference only in the standpoint of forms and names. Essentially, they're one. You resolve the wave in the water. You resolve the ocean in the water. Then the person who comes and tells you, has brought about a perspective change. Like Shastram, Shastra Shruti Mahata brings about a change. The perspective change. This is what is cognitive resolution of individuality in totality, Bhagavan.
Thanks, Swamiji.